just because we play what the people want. And I like, so them I call us pirates. Them I call us illegal broadcasters. PTI try stop us, but they can't.
Yeah, please. And welcome to the Interracial John podcast. I am your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
And you are very white indeed. What's up, dude?
Thank you. I was really like tired. Like, I had like low energy, yeah, low tea or something, maybe.
I don't think it was low energy. It was, you went running outside with a 2-year-old for about 45 minutes in the blazing sun heat.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
You might have forgotten about that.
I did forget about that. He's exhausting. I'm telling you, I said to his mom, I said, I'm never going to let anything bad happen to him. Like, no harm will come to your child. Trust me. Like, I'm on it. Like, I know you live on a lake. We've got the life vest.
Yes.
I'm on it.
You're on it.
But he's going to come back wet. It's just inevitable. It wasn't today. You know, I'm going to look at it from now on. I'm like, he's dry. Bring him back.
Yeah.
He's dry. That's all that matters.
He's such a little leader. Like, I don't know how that exhibits itself at such a young age, but
I think he's a single,
he's just
kid
so sure of himself. He's just
the 2-year-old, like, his mind, like, watching him interact with his environment. Like, I'm telling you that, like, he's walking away from you, and he knows that you're looking at him, and he looks over his shoulder, and he sees you, right? And you say his name, and he kind of goes a little bit faster. You take a step closer to him, and he starts moving really quick. Like, he's like, he's testing his boundaries. I guess that's the terrible twos.
Well, we had a whole conversation. You brought over this magazine. We're looking at the magazine, and I said, oh, look at this. Look at that. That little boy has glasses. He has sunglasses. And he goes, oh, I'll go get my glasses. And he went and got his glasses, and he put them on, and he came over and showed them to me, and then he put them in his pocket, and it was just like, whoa.
I feel amazing. He and I have a really, like, almost like too much of a bond. Like, he said my name before one of his parents, before both mom and dad were said. Like, he was saying Drew, I think. Maybe because easier, it's got like the hard kind of thing. But no, he loves me because he just, I fucking do whatever he wants. He's like, Drew, and he pats the ground. And I'm like, all right, here you come. Do this. I'm like, all right, here you go. Do that. I'm like, all right, let's do that. And he's two. Like, what am I going to say? No. Like, I'm playing with the 2-year-old. He wants to do this? Fuck, let's do that. Like, I'm like, let him fucking, I'm not going to tell him what to do. No. That's what his I don't want to say stepmother-in-law. Is that the right word? Mother?
Step-grandmother.
Step-grandmother.
His Nana.
His Nana. All right. His Nana does that, though. Yeah. Like, tries to force plan. I'm like, he's two. Just let him
just
do what
let
he
him
wants.
Do what he wants, man. Anyways, welcome to the show. And you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search for Interracial John. That's JAWN. Or you can go to our website, interracialjohn.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Periscope at Interracial John. Again, JAWN. And we love feedback. We really do. It's awesome. We love it.
We dig it. We dig it.
And if you leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher and it's 5 stars, we'll read it here on the air. And you can also email us. Just send any comments, questions, or thoughts to interracialjohn@gmail.com. And you can just pick up your phone, dial 657-JOHNERS, that's 657-JAWNERS. And if it's under 3 minutes and not totally outlandish.
No, just take that back. We're not getting any, right? So, like,
no, I'm not playing the outlandish.
You didn't.
I reserve the right to
listen,
not play
listen,
something.
Listen.
Anyways,
the fucker will have to be extreme.
Well, we'll see. Because you don't know when they come in, so you may not get the ones that I won't put on the air.
Are you screening or something?
No,
I don't know.
I'm not really screening. Anyways, we'll play it here on the air. Shout out to Rod and Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips for our general feedback rules. And we happen to have some emails, actually.
Please clap.
Whoa. My goodness. Contact from the...
Here, and I'd like it also to be, this is episode 99.
That's kind of cool, I gotta
coming
be honest.
Coming up.
100's kind of something. I feel
it is a little, I don't know.
It's under 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Because we started in like the fall of 2014, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
Anyways, we've been consistent as we could be. And
hey, that's more than one a week. So I feel like if we're under like 10, 11 days, yeah, we're doing pretty,
we're doing all right.
We're above average.
Yeah, well, we're trying.
Yeah.
Okay, so Here's a first email. Hey, Drew and Leslie. Great but heavy show last week. What a very good ep. I wanted to talk about a couple of things you had brought up on the show. One, as someone who is into tech and familiar with the subject of peer-to-peer, I want to touch on something that I do not think people realize with the Airbnb racial discrimination. While I agree with Leslie that it's great that Black entrepreneurs are entering the marketplace and entering the sharing economy space, they should not exist solely because Airbnb is racist. They should exist because they want to compete in the marketplace and take a significant portion of the market away from Airbnb because their business model is a better one. Also, Airbnb should just not be racist. What people are missing in the discussion is the reason that Airbnb has a racial problem is the providers of the places who know who is coming into their home and therefore can discriminate. In a pure P2P system, neither the customer or the seller know one another. All they know is person A has a product to sell, person B has the cash, and wants the product A is selling. They exchange funds and goods and that's it, end of interaction. Where Airbnb fuck up and what Uber got right is twofold. The customer is known and the power is in the hands of the provider of the property, not the customer. Thus, the racial and bigot discrimination. Uber allows for people seeking rides to have whatever pick or name attached to their profile. All Uber cares about is a valid credit card. If a customer does not show up at the place and time they request a ride, their card will get a ding. If the Uber driver sees the passengers they are picking up are people of color and does not pick them up, then the driver gets dinged by both Uber and the customer, thus losing money and enough dings you can no longer drive with Uber. The old taxi excuse of I did not see the customer doesn't fly with Uber thanks to GPS and other tracking location information, but for Uber, you say you're going to provide for a ride to customer, i.e. people of color, to provide the ride. End of story. This is why Uber is successful in displacing the taxi industry. The power's in the hands of the customer and not the drivers. Now there are other forms of discrimination with zip codes, but we'll save that for another time. With Airbnb, for example, if I put my home up for the dates of May 8th to 11th, I see that a person of color, whatever person I may not like, wants the house for those dates. I can say no or use the excuse that it's not available. Airbnb does not force the providers to keep those dates open unless there are significant excuses until a customer takes them. Second, because of the use of government ID name and PIC requirement, again, the provider can discriminate before there's even any kind of transaction, just sharing a thought.
Right.
Number two, Mr. Robot is the greatest. Y'all need to watch the show.
This is clearly from Heroja.
Streaming on Amazon Prime Now. Watch so we can talk about it on my podcast, especially you, Drew. Would love to pick your brain.
I said I was going to do it because I watched the first two or three episodes.
We can do it while we're on vacation.
All right.
Number three, when you guys can hit the doctor and I up, we'd love to have y'all on the 12 Monkey Show. That's from Heroja Sheeb, who does with the doctor the 12 Monkeys review right. on the movie trailer reviews, MTR. Which is awesome.
Yeah, I think she hit everything kind of on the head.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're going to like call a thing, like there are what she's described. Is not that it's like a known entity, but it is a known entity, like this possibility. And other services, other like, you know, shared economy, other things have solved it in a variety of ways. And she described how Uber solved it by, you know, using a blind sort of eBay-like rating system. And, you know, there are probably ways for, you know, drivers to be like, you know, tagging somebody in a negative way because they were black and they didn't want to drive this black person. And enough of that happens now, you have a low rating and it's clear, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying it's free of discrimination, but it certainly... It helps avoid some of the discrimination off the get-go with the government ID in the picture, right?
Right.
So the problem that, you know, Airbnb has, I don't think problem, but like, look at like Priceline, right? There's another way of doing things. Like Priceline's got, you put your money in, you put the thing, and the hotel takes it, they don't take it. Like, right. It just is or isn't.
Right.
And, you know, there's other ways of kind of like solving that issue. And Airbnb hasn't done a job at all. Like the Airbnb or the Air Noir, B&B Noir, I think it was called. I forget the name of it. I feel terrible.
Noir B&B.
I think it was Noir B&B.
I think.
That individual did exactly what Heroja said that Airbnb is not doing, in that if you say no, you cannot then sell that property, right? Like kind of like with Priceline. If I put in a price and it doesn't get taken, like I have to wait 24 hours where I can put another one to avoid like just like, you know, putting in bid after bid after bid. There's a penalty period. And that would be a legitimate thing to do. If I'm contacting you, and I'm with a credit card ready to pay and book for your room. It's not a soft request. It's like, hey,
right. like
I
want
to record. I want to rent from this date to this date. Here's right. the card. Here's the information. And you turn around and say, no, it's not available. Then within that platform, your room cannot be available. Like the fact you can just like message and say no is very different than like it's off the fucking, it can't be rented.
Right.
And that's kind of what the Noir site does. So it, I don't say it penalizes, but it just says like, listen, don't, you know, you can't fucking do that. Right. Like,
right. If it's up, it's up.
Yeah. I mean,
and if it comes down for a legit reason, then sure. you don't need to sell it. And then absolutely. It's gone. Right.
You know, I think, not that it's like analogous, but
it does tell you when there are other people looking at the property though. I know it does do that. So yeah. you at least have some data to know that there would be, you know.
And I'm sure that doesn't help black people any at all. You
know what I'm saying? No, like, I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that...
should I rent to this black person? Right. Like, there's nine other people right. looking at the property.
Right.
Fuck it. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of the site Reddit, which is having all kinds of fucking like... almost like revolt kind of issues. Mm. There was a
CEO. I don't know much about Reddit.
Well, I won't go into it, but there was a CEO and they tried to do a couple different things with moderation. And the CEO had to like resign or quit, I think, or somebody had to quit. Mm. And now they've got, I don't want to call it a revolt, but like you can game their algorithm and the Reddits and subreddits by like making it look more important than it really is and doing things. And there was one about Donald Trump, the underscore Donald. And it's got all kinds of like Stormfront Nazi fucking like ridiculous horse shit fucking type of people.
Of course.
Of course. And they were doing things to get Trump's, their Reddit to look more popular than it really was. Like mass liking and clicking and favoriting, like upvoting things in a specific pattern. Like so their group could coordinate their efforts to make their Reddit look much bigger and more important
than it was.
Than it really was. Right. On specifically on the main page, the home page.
Right.
And so they did some things to like kind of prevent that. Like, you know, whether you can make something sticky or not sticky. Like, I'm not getting into like specific details, but it's really kind of like, I don't know, like it's interesting, this community and this revolt and like, you know, moderation and what's allowed and not allowed. And, you know, that one's a little bit different just because it's so much provided by the community, but there's things like this all the time. Like, oh, the map isn't racist; it's just provided by the community data, which happens to be full of racists.
Like, oh, right, exactly.
You know, so I don't know.
Yeah,
there's something there that's.
It's like you're, you know, and that's I say this all the time. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day about how it's so absurd to take any data related to crime and communities of color and make any assumptions about anything that is derived from them because the data is so skewed by the hyper overrepresentation of policing in these areas. It's like, you know, when you say something completely ruins the data of a study.
Oh yeah, white supremacy taints it so badly.
It just taints it
in so many places.
Insufferably.
Absolutely.
And yet we have public policy made based on this information. Anyways, let's keep going with the rest of the emails.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rosa.
Please clap.
And we'll try to catch up on robot. No promises. And
we'll try.
Thinking, was there a third thing? Was robot? We talk about the.
We should come over for 12 monkeys. We'll totally want to do that.
Yeah, done
for sure.
That show's been so fucking good.
So good. So
I
good.
Love it.
We talked about it last week. Okay, so a listener from Finland 1.3 says thank you for the most recent episode. I enjoyed it a lot. The parts about the state using its power to cause chaos and undesirable elements of society sounded eerily like the thousands of stories of Cold War politics circulated in Europe in the 90s. Power seems to react in very predictable and identical ways to a perceived threat, no matter what the ideologies they profess. I've only been listening to your podcast for a little over a year, so I don't feel I deserve to be one of the 14. Oh,
wait a minute. She's the user that invited us to come see the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
We're going, dude. You're one of the favorite. We said like you don't know, but like we'll do that shit. Like you really don't know us. Like I think you do know us. Like let me just say this. There's a dynamic with podcasts because you and I are just sitting here at a table like shooting the shit. Like it's very personal. You and I I act like it's just you and me, right? Like that's kind of like just that's how it goes. Like I think all podcasts, at least the ones I enjoy, like they do that. The hosts do that, right? Like Nick and Reggie, like it's just like, hey, they're just having a conversation. They're like, you happen to be listening in on it. And like, it seems very private. And like, so I feel like I know a lot about podcasters, but like in reality, I just don't. Like, I've just listened to hours and hours and hours of their intimate conversations. So you're inviting us and you're like, oh yeah, come to Ham Family. Like I'm just saying, like, we're going to come. Like, it's like, we're going to show up. Like, so just anyone, if you're out there and you're listening, you're like, oh yeah, come visit. Like, don't just throw that shit out there. Like, that's not a joke. Like, there'll be an RV, like, brr, brr, like the John's in town, dude. Let's do it. Like, what's
Let's
up?
Let's go.
We're going to fucking record. Make it All happen.
Right, anyways. So I don't feel I deserve to be one of the 14, but I do wish to be one of the first founding members of the Fellowship of the Faithful 14. I volunteer myself as the president of the Scandinavian chapter. Smiley face. I do speak a bit of Swedish enough to get a drink in a bar if we were to have our chapter meeting in Stockholm. Love, Hannah. Thanks, Hannah.
No, I'm gonna put her on the list. Hannah makes the list. Wait for Hannah.
Please okay. Clap.
Okay, and the next one, the last one, we have three of them, titled IJ number 98. John or Folk, I listened to my first IJ podcast number 98 all the way through, and I had to chuckle when the conversation turned to the Donald. Leslie called him an asshole, and Drew said he hoped that white woman finally went against their husbands and voted for sanity. 2 days ago, I was talking with my white suburban stepmom, who always voted Republican with my now deceased dad. When the Donald's name came up, she said, "That man is an asshole." Mind you,
hope.
I've never heard this prim and proper Republican lady utter such language before. So maybe, just maybe, there'll be a rejection of the drumping cough by such voters, and he will be duly trounced in November. Anyway, it's my fondest wish, and maybe it's a small sign that he really crossed the line of no return. # I'm with her. Keep up the good conversation about the news and happenings. I'm old and not very culturally hip, so if you skip most of the current culture, TV, music, related hipness stuff, that would be fine with me. Smiley face. Cheers, Alan. Thanks, Alan.
Please clap.
Oh, that's here in Grand Rapids.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's Alan Local. I don't want to use his government name, but no. He uses it on Twitter. But we follow each other, and we actually talked a bit, and we were like exchanging, and then he's like, wait a minute, you're in Rapids? I'm like, yeah. Should have got a beer, but I think we're home like 5 days out of the next too many. But Alan, we'll catch a beer one of these days. Go to Founders.
Yeah, well, we are going on the road, and those of you in the Philadelphia area, if you're around, we are going to be having a little John meetup and birthday celebration. In Philadelphia, we're going to be on the 30th of June, Thursday evening, celebrating at Schuylkill Banks. They're gonna have a movie night.
Has it been that long since we moved? You stumbled on Schuylkill.
Schuylkill Banks, by the Walnut Street Bridge, and we're gonna be meeting up at 7 p.m. And then I think at 8:30 or just at dusk, you know, whenever the sun goes down.
We gotta make sure we bring our camp chairs and shit.
Yeah, we gotta bring all that stuff. When the sun goes down,
I carry the watermelon.
They're going to show one of my favorite movies ever, Dirty Dancing. And I am turning the big 4-0, so we'll be celebrating my birthday, too. We'll have something sweet for everybody for that.
Yeah. In fact, I had an idea about that. I wanted to talk to you.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Off air.
Off air. Surprise for the genre. So anyways, what else is going on? We went to AMC this week.
We did Allied Media Conference. I dig it. They did a really good job.
Yeah, I mean,
excellent conference.
First time
well
I've
done.
Been. I'd heard so many things about it, so many good things about it, and it really exceeded my expectations. First of all, it was just an extremely, I can't even say this like strongly enough, like just an extremely well organized and executed conference and event.
Yeah,
like
for
from
sure.
top to bottom, I'm really, really impressed. And like, I'm not saying this because I like to toot my own horn, but when I'm saying that, like, that's some that
no it was
that's,
really good content, great speakers, excellent sessions, really like not really good. And I don't know if you and I talked about it in this exact way, and I don't know exactly what I'm thinking about or how to say it, but I think in the car I said it felt to me like, I think if I'm not mistaken, it is, as an organization in this conference specifically, a black queer and female-led organization, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And the space, right? Because it's at a university. It's at Wayne State University. So it's on a couple different buildings, and there's different things going around here and there. But the sort of, like, you know, just sort of like the feel, like the space, if that makes any sense. It felt very, I don't want to say like black-centered isn't the right way to say, but like it was clear that like that blackness was considered at multiple stages, and there were black people working at every single stage from like beginning to end with putting it on. Like, if that makes any sense, like there wasn't any sort of like, you know, I don't know what I'm describing, but like when it's missing, it's like, it's obvious, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And I felt the same thing about M4BL in Cleveland.
Well, they have like a whole network of principles that, you know, that they abide by, or that they, you know, work to, you know, ascribe to and live out in the work. So
yeah, it's not just blackness, because that's not right. It's like there's a level of inclusiveness that just like, like you just don't see. And it's inclusiveness in a like a really complete way that just...
So let me tell you something about these principles, though, and this is why it's so really critical. So they have a bunch of them. I won't read them all, but they say stuff like, we make an honest attempt to solve the most significant problems of our day. We are building a network of people and organizations that are developing long-term solutions based on the immediate confrontation of our most pressing problems. We emphasize our own power and legitimacy. We presume our power, not our powerlessness. We spend more time building than attacking. We focus on strategies rather than issues. And here's the one that I think you're going to really be like, this is it. And it's also totally the workshop. The strongest solutions happen through the process, not in a moment at the end of the process.
You're right. You're exactly right. And that,
that's what they're trying to cultivate.
That's what I mean by inclusiveness.
That is what it is.
Yeah. And it's not something that, that phrase, like, I don't know what porn is, but when I see it, like, I can't describe it, but I know what when I see it.
Why is everything always compared to porn with you?
Because that's that just phrase, like, you know, I don't know, I can't describe it, but I know when I see it.
I've never heard anybody say that besides you.
Okay, well, you know how I always say, I can't describe porn, but I know when I see it. Is that better?
Yes, I do know.
I can't. You're just gonna keep laughing and laughing. I'm glad I'm cracking you up. This is good. We need a good laugh. You're gonna make you cry and shit.
All right,
you good?
All right. Yes, I'm fine.
So, you sure you're fine?
Yes.
I'm gonna look up where that phrase comes from with etymologists and be like, comes from a very white guy. Like, holy shit. Like, dude, I always say that. It's in the Urban fucking Dictionary. This fucking tool bag on Twitter always be saying. A phrase some idiot in Grand Rapids made up and keeps repeating and trying to attribute to someone else. Urban Dictionary.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what I was going to say.
I don't know either.
Well, so, but whatever that quality is, that, you know, like you said, through the process,
right?
When it's, I can't describe it, and that's what's like going to be hard about the workshop, but like, I cannot describe exactly what it is and what it looks like. Like, there is no, do these 10 things and you get this. Like, there's no baking a cake.
Right.
There's no step-by-step. You can't give somebody. It's just like what you do or you don't do. And it's obvious when it's done. And it's, I wouldn't say it's obvious when it's not done, but it will be, because it's gonna harm somebody. Somebody's not going to be, you know, like, you wouldn't have thought of something. And when that happens, now it's going to be like, oh shit, we fucked up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, yeah, it was really kind of a nice space, just a really...
It really was great. And we had our session, which was really well attended. I was so surprised and kind of like really shocked.
We joke about like the Faithful 14 and shit, but like, I really like, I'm not trying to like...
I thought it was going to be like 12 people.
It was fucking packed.
It was a lot of people. And thank you.
Did you do a count?
If any of you are listening, hopefully some of them are.
I know there was at least one or two people that, you know, said they were going to listen in or follow John, or we interacted with a couple of people that, you know, tagged us that weekend.
Yeah, so definitely shout out to all of them. Oh, wait, I wanted to say the podcasters that were in the room. I actually took a note.
Shannon was the one. He's got some stuff on NPR. Shannon Kasem, I think it was. He was cracking me up with his name.
He was. All of his podcasts had his name in it. Like, I like my name. So the first one was Video Game Hell.
And it's a podcast about video games taking a casual but critical perspective on an emerging art form.
All right. Cafe con Pod Dulce was the other one. that was in the room, which was kind of cool. And, oh, excuse me.
I look up Cafe Caman Dulce, and they're on SoundCloud, and it says, can you hear that dog snoring?
That's yeah, a problematic. Yeah, so loud. She's so problematic.
It's with Mara Nestor, and I don't quite see in the description, but anyway, who else was in the room?
The other one was Suena Revolucion, Shannon Kaysen's Podcast Stories, and that was the four of them that were there.
Shannon was absolutely cracking me up.
So funny.
First of all, he kept talking about, he you know, said, oh, this is the podcast, I did this. And he had some really, he'd worked with like NPR and some big stations,
yeah, WBZ in
Chicago.
Yeah,
yeah. So he said he had a podcast called the Shannon Kaysen Podcast, and there was something else called, you know, The Trouble with Shannon Kaysen, and something else with Shannon Kaysen. He's like, can you tell I like my name? He put in everything. I said, it's good branding. So he was talking about, we had talked about equipment, and he mentioned the USB mic, and that, you know, it wasn't really an issue to use it for a long, long time. And I said, like, oh, but you know, you've got that, because he was like he's got this really like kind of distinctive, sexy baritone kind of voice.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta have a, you know, got a nice mic for that voice now. Come on. He's like, oh, I just said that for the story. I use a Shure SM58. I was like, Shannon, you fucking dog, you.
He just said it for the story.
Make it story. I like it. It's good.
I was like, I like it. That would
I
be
approve.
Good on the podcast. I said next year we should do the show live because we could have had all of that.
Yeah,
live.
We could have done all that really live. Good. At least we could have recorded it
yeah.
and then edited it for the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, edited for
the
show.
Could have done something.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was a fun. You did great, and it was excellent, and we workshopped, and I think there was. I think. Before we started, four podcasts currently, and maybe like a dozen to 20 people that were thinking about doing a podcast. And at the end, I think there was like 50 or 60 people that were like definitely going to do a podcast, and like I think 15 or 20 that were like done, ready to go. There was the,
yeah.
at the table I was listening to.
Quite a few have been like just ready
oh,
to
man.
Get tipped over.
I said to the one
like,
person, I was
go.
Like, you got
to
do that. Like, that's how I would do it.
One guy
was so cool.
Wants to do a podcast with him and his grandmother.
Yeah, don't spill too much.
And I was like, I thought that was a really great
idea. Yeah, there's a bunch of really great ideas.
Really good ones. So hopefully I will certainly share them and have them here on our show for sure.
Yeah. Podcast, the Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeesh.
By the John.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm going to keep talking about a couple of things, but did I tell you about my grandmother's Muhammad Ali story? I feel like he just passed away, so like...
Nobody wants to hear that story after he died, though.
No?
No.
I
don't want to hear that story.
It doesn't paint my grandmother in a really good light. But I had another one. I had a roommate, not a roommate, but a suite mate
yeah.
that was a neighbor of Muhammad Ali's.
Yeah.
And in here in Michigan, at Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some sort of spotlight. I don't know why, but for like a airport spotlight. Like,
okay.
Like a million candlelight power deal.
Yeah.
And he'd flash it from one dorm room to the other and like wake people up at like 3 a.m. and shit.
Sounds like a lovely fellow.
Yeah, Dustin. Good guy.
Yeah.
He had a picture of him and Muhammad Ali.
That's the story.
That's the story. Yeah, he knew Muhammad. He was his neighbor.
Oh, he was his neighbor. Okay. Yeah. I know there's
my grandmother's story was more interesting, but it's kind of like, you're right. Like,
nobody wants to hear that one.
It's not like racist or anything, but it's just not. It's not my grandmother's.
But it kind of
story.
Is, though, from what I remember. What do you mean it isn't? What are you talking about right now?
Is it racist?
Of course it is. Are you kidding me right now? What did you think the story was about?
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm serious. I want to know what you thought.
Of course
this story
it's
was
a little
about.
Racist. Rest in peace, Grandma. Love you, Nana. Stop it. We're going to get through the show without you cracking up all night? Come
you
on.
No, stop. It's all your fault.
To the sky. Pour a little bit out for my Nana.
Oh, I can't with you. I really.
You know what? Why don't you compose yourself? Take a minute.
Fucking with me in these streets.
Signing children.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. Cause I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
He's fragile.
Ain't
very fragile. He's fragile. Very fragile.
Did I hear
there's another version
another
of that.
Another version? Do you have that?
Apparently there's In These Streets tours coming up out here. And they just have famous people over singing it. Debbie Allen's in this one.
It's Jennifer again.
Grant Hill for some random reason.
I don't want no
nobody.
That's Debbie
messing
Allen.
With me in these streets.
Sing, children.
I don't want nobody messing with me in these streets.
Good harmonies.
I don't want nobody messing with me in these streets.
Because
ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
For what?
Shit!
Shaka Khan!
Shaka Khan!
Shaka Khan!
Nice. So they are just like Jennifer Lewis is going around playing the
E-Streets
tour.
The E-Streets medley.
Yeah, before we hit the news, though, I wanted to, you had something you mentioned to me about a statement, and I don't want to talk about it on our show. I think there's lots of other, you know, I'll say podcasts and people in particular, I would say maybe LGBT, maybe of Puerto Rican folks that I would listen to on the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. I don't think there's anything that I need to share about it, but you had something from the group at BLU, is that correct?
Yeah, and then just wanted to mention one other thing. I really, just like you, have really spent all of my time just lifting up the voices of Latina and Latinx, LGBTQ folks, and you know, just sharing their thoughts, their anything that they wanted to share, just kind of amplifying that and getting that as much, you know, reach as I could offer to it. But also was strangely pressed to make a statement from the Black Lives of UU organizing collective from several inquiries and kind of like, where is your statement kind of thing?
Oh, like pressed, like
an expectation.
Pressured a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. From within the faith?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. God damn, are we some condescending fucks? I swear to God sometimes.
No, it's fine. But we did, and I'll give an extra shout out to Lena who wrote this for us as we did after we all discussed what our thoughts were. She's very good at capturing our general thoughts in words. So anyway, she says this is from us hashtag Orlando United. There are times when prayers seem futile, when two hurried calls to action seem empty, almost infuriating. And yet the tears still come, and they come, and they come, and they keep coming. Our hearts were laid low as we learned of the massacre in Orlando. We mourn for our queer Latinx family. We mourn the Black lives that were taken, the Black and Latinx lives, all the lives that were taken, and those that were forever changed. We don't have many words of inspiration. We have tears right now. The world is less vibrant now, and even still we know resilience is in us, is with us, and is in the tears we cry. We have no calls to action for you today. We have few soothing words. We have tears and resilience. We hurt because we love. And as Black UUs, we cast no one out. Our hearts are big, and so too is our compassion. Let us not be too hasty to rush our queer Latinx family out of mourning. Let us draw the circle wide, a circle of love and protection. Let us open up space to weep, to cry, to hold each other, to see each other in all the beauty and complexity that it means to be a queer person of color. None of us is free until we're all free. To those we lost, we love you. We will not forget you. We will fight on in your name. We will be resilient in your name. And today we cry, we hold space, and we mourn together. So.
Well said. I like how the group of you kind of get together and work things out and think and come up, like I said, with stuff like that. And, I said I haven't, I don't want to talk about it when I'm talking about it. I haven't even had the muster really say anything on Twitter. And just to be kind of like blunt, I feel like I'm just too gut punched. You know,
yeah.
It's not even me. I shouldn't be, right? It's not me, right? But I just feel numb. You know, I just feel just numb and haven't felt anything to really say your ad.
Well, it's the thing that keeps just coming up in my head is that it's unfathomable. Like I'm just having like, it's hard to like even really wrap my head around it. Like,
yeah, and then I read one news piece that had some specifics, and after I read it, I was like, I can't. I read it almost like, just because you read like it's such a low effort behavior,
sure,
like an article,
you start comprehending immediately.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that I just wish I hadn't known or read, and I just, that was it for me. I stopped consuming pieces of information on it. But anyway, let's.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
Well, I read this cool story about Tennessee's first natural hair school, which just opened up on June 2nd. And its business is booming, not surprisingly.
Nice.
Tamika Turner opened the Institute of Beauty on June 2nd, Tennessee's first natural hair school. The school titled the Institute of Beauty, located in Bartlett, Texas, is the only place where beauticians can learn how to style natural hair, and they're coming from all over the state to do so. Our goal was to have 20 students. Now we have 24 students. We have 15 students on the waiting list. The demand for this type of education isn't unwarranted. And talks about, in order to become a licensed hair care professional, aspiring hairstylists must attend cosmetology or beauty school and pass their state's exam license. However, traditional cosmetology and beauty schools don't teach hairstylists how to style and care for black hair. Black hairstylists have learned the tricks of the trade from family members, friends, and personal hair care experiences. With the internet, YouTube has become an unofficial natural hair academy with YouTubers giving lessons on how to style, protect, and make products for black hair. And June 2nd was only the beginning of the hair care revolution, although the Institute of Beauty hasn't been in operation for a full 2 weeks. Turner says she's looking to open another location by the end of the summer. So, yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Natural
that the first,
hair is booming.
It's the first in Tennessee, but it's not the first, like, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of other.
Oh, no, there's plenty all over the place. Yeah, for sure.
Just Tennessee, like everything, a little bit behind the curve, Tennessee.
I noticed the first change you saw was that now natural hair salons had to have a girl that does natural hair. Like, you cannot have a black hair salon anymore and not have somebody that can do natural hair.
Yeah, there was
that was a big shift, I think.
Yeah. And I remember for a little while when we were living in some of the burbs, maybe like, I don't know how many years ago, 6-7 years ago. Like, the curve is pretty like in full natural. Like, I feel like natural hair is more almost in vogue now.
Oh, or yeah.
It's certainly a lot more popular than it was 6-7 years
definitely.
Ago. The curve was starting. But as the curve was starting, I don't say struggled, but wasn't like a lot of places you can go to.
No, it wasn't.
Not a lot. You had to like find.
I had to find.
You did a lot of your own stuff. You had to like, you know. Yeah. A little bit easier now.
Because I feel like Philly got it later than, say, like New York or Chicago or.
Philly, slow on that job.
Like, well, I just feel like, you know, that's how shit goes, you know. Trends move.
I hear you.
So I don't think I have fully come to Philly or not to the burbs. It probably, maybe if we were downtown, maybe.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we all saw it, pretty obvious, and you know, sometimes like talk about like Matrix, you're in the Matrix, you're out of the Matrix, like you just start seeing shit. It's like, how can you not see how disturbingly ridiculous this is by comparison? But two tragedies at, I guess, like zoo kind of animal installment type places.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati, and then the
gorilla in Cincinnati, and the boy and the alligator in Disney's park in Florida. But two disturbingly different responses. You know, we saw, I guess, two different tragedies, and the media described Matt Graves, the father of the white child, as an employee of a tech company and a board member of the Chamber of Commerce, while depicted Deion Dickerson, the father of the black child, as an absent father with a lengthy criminal record. So there was that.
Yeah.
And
I was talking to somebody about... I don't have the bandwidth or funding to do so, but somebody really needs to take this Harambe incident and do a chart by chart study. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? Can you remind me to hit up Meredith Gray about this? Meredith Clark. I mean,
I was gonna say Meredith. Okay, you know, Jesus Christ, you got the fucking in, dude. But first of all, like, she's pretty busy with Grey's Anatomy, like running the hospital. Like, she's got this new. Last the season ended, she's got a new fucking love interest. Like, I don't think she's gonna come work for you. Like, I don't exactly know what you've got. Like, her number, I'm impressed. But
I hate you.
Good
right
luck
now.
With that.
No,
hey, Meredith. You know what though? Her sister.
White people. Anyways, no, Meredith Clark. Because that's right up her alley. Anyways, I want somebody to do a real, like, real-time analysis of specifically Twitter and that story and what the how track exactly, like, when information came in how the tweets
changed.
We talked
about it on the John, that the like absolute the Overton window, like that's exactly what it is that moved, and I've never seen it like that. It flipped instantly.
Oh my gosh.
And like I said, like people that, you know, I don't think they're bad people. These are people that I follow and are on my timeline, you know, very whatever, you know, white folk that were just vociferously defending the you know, on the one end, and then were real quiet, you know. And it's like, but did you notice like how vocal you were? And then anyway. Ugh. But so two similar tragedy responses, and we talked about this description of the father, and you could talk about race, cover this, but this Huffington Post article really thinks it's about our country's obsession with invalidating, patronizing, and racializing black parents, all black parents. So here's how we talk about black parents in the news and across social media. White America invented the welfare queen, the character to depict black mothers as lazy, opportunistic, while slut-shaming them as myths of the multiple fathers. Constantly joke in our movies, TV shows, YouTube videos about absent black fathers. A few months ago, we shamed Will and Jada because their son Jaden was seen wearing a skirt, and they questioned their parenting and placed blame on the association with Scientology. When Mike Brown was murdered by Darren Wilson, people shamed Mike's mother for raising a thug and never gave her the opportunity to mourn the loss of her son. All this bullshit is a way to disprove the humanity of black parents, to prove that black people aren't responsible for themselves or their children. By doing this, we validate our legacy of oppression towards black people. In the eyes of white supremacy, who cares if we gentrify a neighborhood because we push up black families? Who cares if we zone black children into schools that are horribly underfunded? Who cares if we provide inferior health care to black children? Who cares if police officers murder black children? Because black parents are bad parents, they don't deserve civil rights. So I think it's, you know, we've talked, I keep forgetting the guy's name that talked about necromancy and white people and dancing in the fucking like skins of fucking blackness and shit. But yeah, you know, the invalidation of black parents seems to be you know, like anti-blackness comes in a lot of ways, but that specific I don't know, thread of anti-blackness, the like black parent as incapable, it's very pernicious and just fucking ugly and awful, and it does seem, you know, purpose driven to enable dehumanizing to the point that, you know, death, murder, all kinds of shit, you know, getting choked out in front of, you know, people on camera, no big deal.
Definitely.
Disturbing. And you're right, there should be some sort of like, you know, a timeline of I think just not just the Harambe incident, but both. Like, look at what happened day 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 on this one, and look at that one.
I don't think the other one is that interesting, because to me, it's like, it was very textbook. You know, we knew all of the players immediately, and so it played out how it normally does. I don't think you need to really see that, because it didn't stray from the norm, except for now, and we're talking about it in this regard, and lots of other people are, you know, this comparison, you know, scope of it. Just even the, like, you know, let's charge them, they killed, they had to kill this amazing animal, and, you know, all of these like tributes to Harambe and everything, and in response the public to the incident at Disney started posting pictures of their children standing exactly where the little child had in solidarity, like, you didn't do anything wrong, you know,
right,
we thought it was safe too, kind of thing, right. And I think that's great. I mean, I'm sure maybe it gave some comfort to the family, I don't know, but I think it's just interesting when you see the response, how one is trying, like,
empathize, help, yeah, absolutely, empathize,
and absolutely, the other is trying to, you know, do just the opposite. I mean, it's like, wow. It you know, you just, when it's rare to have such. So I know how you're always talking. I don't know. Remember you had talked about those crisis actor people when we were talking about conspiracies?
Oh, that's the, like, there's some, like, I guess, like, loony shit, but that stuff's just, it boggles my mind. And you know what the best part about the crisis actor reality is?
What?
It's that white people look all the same.
Well, here's one. Well, one of the victims in the Orlando mass shooting, one of the survivors who was injured, is now having to fend off online conspiracy theorists who claim she was a crisis actor in a staged event.
Oh, come on. She's like literally been shot in this horror. She was shot in the leg. Now, the crisis actor bullshit is usually people standing around and like mulling about. Like, they usually, the claim to these conspiracy nut jobs that
their first thing is that she's an intern at Fox 29 in Philadelphia.
What's that got to do with fucking anything?
So apparently now, because
the liberal media,
she somehow is connected loosely to, for shit's sake. It's so ridiculous.
Do you guys know what a fucking intern does? Have y'all had, have these people ever had an intern? Does mom's basement have an intern?
Literally, it says it's been seen by over 100,000 views. Breathlessly described the shooting as Pulse shooting hoax. Crisis actor revealed.
Oh, fuck you. They're trying to say the fucking whole thing's a fucking hoax. That is the most disgusting. Literally, I'm fucking sick.
There she is. There she is again. Literally.
You know, to say that any of these tragedies is a fucking crisis, like, acting is just bullshit.
It's obscene.
And really, like I said, my understanding of the crisis actor whatever is that it's not that they're making up the crisis, it's that they're amplifying and taking advantage of the crisis for their own gain, like people that show up after the crisis to like blah. So like, I don't know if they're saying that like the whole thing is a made up, and or that she came in and is like trying to like do something, but like that's just the most disgusting, foul, fucking hurtful, like I can't believe people actually believe that. Like it pains me that people actually fucking are able to so clearly dehumanize individuals that they can now believe this horseshit.
Mm.
You know, like or they have a mental illness or some sort of, you know, something isn't quite right, because it's just so. There's like preposterous, and then there's conspiracy theory, and then there's like, what in the entire fuck are you like? You really even are trying to think that? Come on.
It's ridiculous.
Ugh, fuck, that's horrible, dude. Speaking of, I guess I don't want to say horrible. I guess it depends on your take on recidivism and restorative justice or something. But anyway, headline. Woman castrated rapist and forced him to eat genitals at gunpoint.
Wait, what?
So a woman was kidnapped and assaulted and turned the tables on her attacker when she castrated the sick fuck and forced him to eat his own genitals. So Kimberly, and I shouldn't say his full name because I think that's unfair that they wrote her a full name. The young woman, 19, was walking home from a friend's house when she was approached by a man offering her a ride to where she was heading, and she replied, no thank you, and the man drove off, continued walking home, but upon turning a corner, the same man jumped out of the bushes and kidnapped her. The attacker, Robert Williams, is a 3-time convicted child molester, took her back to his house where he tied her up and assaulted her for hours. The attacker eventually passed out drunk, and she was able to untie herself. In a fit of rage, she tied up the attacker, castrated him, and when he woke up screaming and yelling, she proceeded to toss his parts in the microwave. And this is
This is a quote. Microwave.
Let me get it in her own words. I threw that bastard's junk in the microwave.
Junk.
Grabbed a plate, fork, and a steak knife and cut it up like a hot dog.
No.
I grabbed a gun that he had left on the kitchen counter, walked over to him, and forced him to eat it. I have no remorse, and I am not sorry. That bastard deserved it, and he's going to hell.
Yo!
That is... I'm going to just get up a little...
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm not saying, you know, like I don't condone violence.
Like I said, it depends on your...
I don't condone violence. All I'm saying is I see where she's coming from. That's all I'm saying.
Like I said, it depends on your view of recidivism. He's a 3-time convicted child molester. He kidnapped her off the street, assaulted her for hours. Let me just say this. For her statement to be... literally like recorded. I threw that fucking shit in the microwave, cut it up like a hot dog, and I fucking fed it to the bastard, and I have no remorse, and I'm not sorry. Like that's very telling.
Maybe she was just listening to Lemonade too much.
Very telling.
I ain't sorry.
Well, she's not being charged with anything. You know?
Well, there you go.
Go UK, I guess. But wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess, again, I'm not, like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm like mad about it, but maybe, I don't know. Let's just say this, like the normal, like, rape a woman and get away with it, and then many years later get caught and maybe serve some time and then get out and rape another woman. That doesn't seem to have any impact. I'm betting genitals cut off, thrown in the microwave, and force fed to you by gunpoint. I'm thinking he's not raping it again. He can't.
Well, I don't think not with a penis. Say. I was gonna say
not with his penis.
I don't know what he gonna do.
He ain't getting no. I don't think they'd give him a transplant. This is the whole thing is kind of just like, but I you know, here's the thing. I don't even talk about him, the crying thing. I hope the young woman feels some measure of ability and comfort to move forward. That's all. I hope she's able to heal. And that sounded pretty cathartic. That sounded pretty cathartic. I like to smash shit every once in a while. You know, that's a pretty fun kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, so sorry, so sorry that I was such a fool.
Yeah, this weekend, sorry. So this was sent from one of the genres. I should look it up because I don't, but I'm going to... I'm sorry. I'll tag you on Twitter. But someone sent this to me on Twitter that said, if you haven't seen this, sorry, this is a doozy. It's been going around the town. But so Enid Blyton, shopkeeper, I guess Enid Blyton's a town shopkeeper. Viv Endicott has been disqualified from the Purbeck Arts Festival window competition over a gollywog tea towel.
A gollywog tea towel?
Yeah. And I got to be honest.
What the hell is a gollywog?
So I had to look it up. It is a black faced caricature in the, like, you know, trope.
Is it like British or something?
It is, and it's but I think it's maybe it's from America, but it's definitely British. It's mostly British. Americans don't know about it, but it's like, you know, mammies and
gollywog.
Yeah, gollywog. I'd never heard the word at all before.
Oh, I see.
And it's actually where, now if you heard wog, that's kind of a epithet.
Yeah, I have,
and that's
heard
where
that
comes from.
Okay,
so it's like a, you know, and they had a series of books in the, like, in the late 19th century, like the 1870s, 80s. And then there were some dolls, and they used them kind of like Raggedy Ann.
Pickaninny.
Yeah, like a pickaninny is a perfect, you know, but much more like, but I like, say racially offensive.
No,
but like,
a pickaninny is that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Same kind of deal.
But like a menstrually pickaninny type of thing.
So she made a tea towel and put words that she liked, you know, like English freedom and... included words read like freedom of speech, liberty, tolerance, and then words that she disagrees with, like slavery, ignorance, political correctness gone mad, and had the gollywog. And they've had a disqualifier. I had an emergency meeting, and I'll give you their apology now. After discussing the issue with the other trustees, we came to the unanimous decision that we cannot endorse the use of gollywogs, and therefore Miss Endicott has been removed from the competition. We want to make sure that Purbeck Arts Week is disassociated from anything like that. And if people have been offended, we would like to apologize. Purbeck Arts, not a very good apology. But so she went on this.
But I feel like they shouldn't really have to apologize.
Oh, she's not. Oh, because she's not. She's not apologizing.
I know she isn't. But I'm confused.
That there's an apology needed?
Yeah.
Well, I guess she's not apologizing, because so she gets a zero.
James drove his RAV4 hybrid into no man's land.
What's that?
And rescued.
I don't have anything open, so.
Sorry, that was me. Yeah, but the whole thing's just like absolutely, she's gone, I would say bonkers, but I'm trying to think, where's the piece she said that was really the worst quote in the world? Freedom of speech is about persuading others to your way of thinking by robust and reasoned argument through any medium. That's what freedom of speech is about, persuading others to your way of thinking by robust and reasoned argument through any medium. My medium was words on a tea towel with a gollywog motif. It is about time the English started celebrating our culture. The gollywog is a part of our culture and no one needs to be offended by it. You cannot ban bits of history you don't like. History is a part of our country. I sell thousands upon thousands of Gallywogs in the shop every year. There are so few places to get one of these days because most people are too frightened to sell them. The display has also been criticized by the Dorset Race Equity Council, who said the stuffed toys are widely recognized to have racist connotations. Chief Officer Eden County added, Gallywogs don't just offend black people, they're offensive to people of any race. People use them as means to abuse black people. And then she goes, I thought we had all moved on, but obviously not. Oh, here's a quote. I'm so disappointed that an arts organization of all things should choose to be censorious. After the Charlie Hebdo attacks in Paris, millions of people took to the streets to assert the Western value that no one has the right not to be offended.
What?
That's her defense for making this offensive shit, is that because of the Paris attacks, millions of people took to the streets to assert the Western value. Just start right there, the Western value. That no one has the right not to be offended. What?
I can't. I cannot.
She's like, I'm not so sorry. The town is sorry. I'm sorry for her. The whole thing's sorry.
She's fucking sorry.
That thing is sorry. Like, why would you? A DQ? A disqualifier?
I'm so, flabbergasted by the whole thing because it's so ridiculous.
I hate this whole, my right to be racist is because you don't have a right not to be offended.
How does that even make any sense?
I have no idea. And, this isn't on the notes. We're not talking about their Trump and Fuhrer. But his fucking campaign, the manager got fired. Now they're having, the communications dude sending out, ridiculous tweets. And he's having to fucking quit and stuff. I don't know what's going on with his whole, implosion shit. But the GOP that are trying to jump on his bandwagon and some of the narrative and the message, it's so twisted. It's the same bullshit that he's the most racially appropriate because he doesn't see color and he says it like it is. Right. Like he's doing favors for race relations because he doesn't abide by that liberal PC bullshit. He's the real fucking champion for race. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay, you believe that. You go right on and believe that.
Right. So,
we had receipts. What is it next?
Oh, yeah. We got some.
We got receipts. This might be the most wig snatchness receipt satchin.
So, ever. Anderson Cooper grilled Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi in the wake of the Orlando massacre. We'll just play this because
I've got it queued up if you want.
I saw you the other day saying that anyone who attacks the LGBT community, our LGBT community, you said, will be gone after with the full extent of the law.
Exactly right.
I talked to a lot of gay and lesbian people here yesterday who are not fans of yours and who said that they thought you were being a hypocrite, that you for years have fought, you've basically gone after gay people, said that in court that gay people, simply by fighting for marriage equality, we're trying to do harm to the people of Florida, to induce public harm, I believe was the term you used in court. Do you really think you're a champion of the gay community?
Let me tell you, when I was sworn in as Attorney General, I put my hand on a Bible and was sworn to uphold the Constitution of the state of Florida. That's not a law. That was voted into our state constitution by the voters of Florida. That's what I was defending. I've never said I don't like gay people.
But do you worry about using language accusing gay people of trying to do harm to the people of Florida doesn't that send a message to some people who might have bad ideas
Anderson,
in mind?
Anderson, I don't believe gay people could do harm to the state of Florida.
But you argued that in court.
Defending what the Supreme Court allowed the voters to put in our state constitution.
But you are arguing that gay marriage, if there was gay marriage, if there was same-sex marriage, that would do harm to the people of Florida, since Florida society.
That it was constitutional to put that in this in the constitution.
Are you saying you did not believe it would do harm to Florida?
Of course not. Of course not.
So why do you argue it in court?
I've never said that. Those words have never come out of my mouth.
But that is specifically what you were arguing in court.
No, what we argued was it was in the Constitution of the state of Florida. Let me give you an example. Medical marijuana. A 12-year-old could get it if it passed. We took that to the Supreme Court because of that language. Hold on. But if that passed, I would defend that as well, because it's my job to defend what's in the Constitution of the state of Florida. That's what it was about.
The hotline that you've been talking about on television, which allows family members and spouses of the dead to get information, yes, which is incredibly important, and I appreciate you talking about it on the air. Had there been no gay marriage, had there been no same-sex marriage, you do realize that spouses, there would be no spouses, that boyfriends and girlfriends of the dead would not be able to get information and would not be able to probably even visit in the hospital.
Well,
there's a sick irony in that.
Well, yeah, and let me tell you something. Let me take it a step farther. People aren't, right now, who are partners and aren't married officially, aren't able to get information. So we're trying to assist them in getting information.
You fought,
because early on,
isn't there a sick irony that
people,
you, for years, were fighting that very idea?
I was defending the Constitution.
If she keeps going back to this, defending the
voters, right, put in the Constitution.
But the courts, the federal court said that's not the Constitution,
right,
and you continued to fight it.
No, that's why we rushed it to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court,
well,
because we
before
needed
before the Supreme Court, there was a federal judge, and you continued to fight it after the federal judge ruled. And in fact, you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money fighting.
Well, Anderson, we rushed to get it to the Supreme Court. You know what today's about? Human beings. Today's
right.
about
oh, human
it's
beings.
About
we are
being
here.
Victims.
It sure is. LGBT.
Yo.
I'm just wondering,
yo,
is it critical to portray yourself as a champion of the gay community? When I'm just reflecting, what a lot of gay people have told me, they don't see you as
Anderson,
that.
I'm not portraying myself as anything other than trying to help human beings right. who have lost their lives, who are right behind us right now in hospital beds, who have family members who aren't getting the services they need. This morning, you know what I've been doing? Trying to fight with a funeral home for overcharging family members to bury their loved ones. I'm not championing anything other than Floridians. That's what this is
Floridians.
About. We're about human beings.
Right.
And this is about victims
right.
who need help.
Right.
This is about family members who need services.
It's just that I will say
about.
I have never really seen you talk about gays and lesbians and transgender people in a positive way until now.
Oh my God.
I read your Twitter history for the last year and I started tweeting about
yo!
National
just stop this whole year.
Yo,
National Shelter
a year?
Dog Appreciation Day or Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. You know, it is Gay Pride Month. You've never even tweeted about Gay Pride Month.
Oh. Well, actually, if you look at my website now, we have hands
now.
Clasped together.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Colored rainbow hands.
So yeah. You just put that up now.
So, yeah, I did. For this horrible tragedy, absolutely. Right. Well, the only thing I'm championing are human beings whose lives were lost.
So that's your message to gay and lesbian people here. Because, again, I'm just telling you what people have been telling me.
I'm just telling you, girl.
Moving forward, do you see yourself as being a vocal champion for gay and lesbian citizens in the state?
They are citizens just like anyone else, of course. I, my goodness, Anderson, we've had 49 people murdered simply because they were in a bar at the wrong time.
Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
I'm a career prosecutor. These family members are devastated.
Well, it's good
these
to hear.
Surviving yeah. victims are devastated.
I know
that's what this is about.
Right. I know a lot of gay and lesbian people in the state want to feel that the people who represent them represent everybody in the state.
We're human beings,
right.
and that's what this is about.
Well, I appreciate
that's
you talking
to us.
That's what
this is about. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me hand your ass to you on,
yeah,
on national television. Thank you for that.
He fucking came
Yo,
for her.
He got in that ass.
I've never heard a reporter say,
wow.
I've read your entire Twitter history for the last year.
I mean, he just was like, oh, and then I heard you say that it was so great that they could see their spouses, but you know, you were against gay marriage, so if things had gone your way, then they wouldn't even be able to do that. So
that's
kind of ironic.
She was so behind the whole time.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I looked your whole history.
Well,
like,
that's great. So now you want to talk about gay and lesbian people? Well, you know, I searched your Twitter history for the last year, bitch.
You know, it's Pride Month,
and you said that you were talking about National Dog Month and National This Month, but no, not
about Pride. If you look at my website now,
you just
did
put that up. Oh,
okay,
girl. Mm-hmm. I got you. All right, Anderson, I see you.
I think the cache version of your site, the web archive of the cache page.
Yo.
It don't look good for you, madam. No. And even she's getting her ass handed to her, right? She's getting her ass handed to her. And she's like, it's about Floridians. It's about 49 people who died because they were in a bar at the wrong time. Like, well, how about because of their sexual orientation? Like, they were targeted. Like, you could mention that, right? Because of their LGBT status. It wasn't just any bar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's even like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't say she's dancing around it, but the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, you're, on the one hand, you're like basically kind of like taking a tragedy and trying to make it into something about you, right? Like, look at me. And when you got called on it, you just like quadrupled down and got super embarrassed.
Yeah.
Forever, all the time.
Forever.
By Anderson Cooper. And like, honestly, like, I think I heard, was it Chris talking about this?
Yes,
and
Chris on Insanity.
I'm agree with him. She doesn't know he's gay. Like, I swear to God, this Miss Dillon was talking to Anderson Cooper, has no fucking clue. He's an openly gay man. Like, has no clue at all.
I love how he kept going back. Well, I talk to all the gay. I talk to all my people out here in these streets, out here in Orlando and Miami and Boca. No, I talk to them all.
Nope. Miss Bondi, girl, nope.
I talk to them all.
Nah, man.
I'm just relaying the message. Don't shoot the messenger, girl. Don't do it.
Yeah, we need a definite cleanse after that. For us today on the POTUS with the mostest, Leslie Mack.
Well, today the president signed an executive order banning the sale of assault weapons. Why? He promised large-scale homeland security raids if gun violence does not subside. Executive order includes mandatory 30-day waiting period on all new firearm sales and a felony prison time for those who do not comply with the new law.
Didn't the NRA just destroy or quash that bill on the House today?
Yeah, it didn't pass, and then he just signed executive ordered it.
Okay, but they can still veto it. The Senate can still filibuster.
Yeah, of course. It's just the, you know, what's he got to lose?
Yeah, hey.
It's lame duck blackness.
It's lame duck blackness. You're right.
I do say, like, I don't even agree with any of this shit because I'm not convinced that... I always, like, this shit, when it comes in the wake of something that happened, like, I always just find it so false and so hollow and... opportunistic. And then also, I'm not convinced that this, I mean, obviously this has to do with gun violence,
right?
Hello, a gun was used, but I feel like the whole point of his, of President Obama's thing, is like, if people are on the no fly list and the terrorist list and like all these things, it's just a lot. It's just too much. And I always, anytime you'd be like felony to automatic felony, I just know anytime those words are put together, that means black people. And I'm like, yeah, no, I can't.
Even the, you know, I tweeted a little bit about this, but like, I'm telling you, I've fired. So the AR-15 that they're talking about is a semi-automatic weapon, quote unquote. First of all, it's the M16. It's a military fucking weapon. It's been in the military for decades. And now we're making a civilian version, like a quote unquote civilian, like lighter version of it. And you can fire it by just pulling the trigger as fast as you can. That's what semi-automatic means. Just pull. Just, you're able to, you know, cap off like a lot of rounds. I don't know how fast you can pull your finger, but like you're getting like, you know, 6, 7, 8 rounds off in just a couple of seconds, like really quickly. So then there's something called positive reset. The recoil from a gun, like it goes and it kicks backwards. They put in a different kind of trigger and the force of the recoil is put down into the trigger. So when you put the butt of the gun up against your shoulder and you hold it kind of like feather it just right and you get your finger on the trigger, the recoil basically moves the gun back and forth, like almost literally moves the gun back and forth and fires like itself. So like imagine a gun like fires and then the recoil makes it like fire again. So, you know, call that semi-automatic. Like people are like that's legal. It's not fully automatic. Like, fuck you. That's the name only. And that's only the name because the NRA spent a bunch of money making that the fucking name.
Right.
And the only reason this gun's here is because the NRA, again, spent a bunch of money making this fucking like sporting fucking like rifle, like I don't know what class, like sporting rifle. Like that's a class of weaponry, sporting rifle. Like, the fuck, man? Like, the whole thing's just absolutely outrageous. And it drives me nuts that we're just the cycle, the outrage cycle, you know, talk about it, tragedy, nothing. And it just, it's, I don't know what it's going to take to break the gun outrage shooting cycle, but it's fucking just bonkers. It's just so stupid every time. And you can just see it. You can just see it. And like today, the fucking bill got like shot down today. It's been 7 days since the largest mass, you know, killing in the United States history. 7 days since the second deadliest act of terror on our fucking soil, you know, in like, I don't know how many hundred or whatever years. And Congress is like, nah. I shouldn't say Congress. Republican, you know, in the Pakistan, right? Congress is like, nah. No big deal. You know, we didn't do the SL cops, and I know we're not doing it. We're trying to, like, get the show going. But just fuck you. Shout out to Oakland and three fucking chiefs of polices in 9 days. And we'll have to put it on the John at some other point. But look it up.
I can't.
City of Oakland. They've had three.
It's the craziest shit I've ever heard about.
One, two, three. Three fucking chiefs of police.
I'm literally
in
like
9 days.
Flabbergasted. It's the same with the fucking mayor in Minneapolis. I'm like, how can all this shit happen and you still have your job? Ferguson, how can all this?
Listen, like, we called this bit yes all cops, yes all fucking cops, and the shit in Oakland, like, it's so disgusting. Like, they literally, like, I'm talking like pimping out little girls and kids and shit.
It's
like
terrible.
Fucking horrible.
It's really,
it's just gross. But anyway,
anyways,
we had, what was it, lame duck blackness, and my other favorite piece.
White people, I get bullied in school. I can't wait till I'm a cop so I can bully you. White people,
hey,
hey,
hey.
White people.
God damn it. Fucking white people.
Fired Florida cop brings black girlfriend as witness to prove he's not racist.
He brought her to court. He brought her as like a witness. He literally, like, he went from Twitter, like, one of my friends is black. Like, I can't be. He brought her to court.
Former Fort Lauderdale police officer Jason Holding brought his black girlfriend to an arbitration meeting, insisting he's not racist after being fired in a racist text message scandal.
Oh my God, that poor girl. He literally got fired in a racist rant, and it's his.
Yeah.
Is that me? Where's it coming from?
No, this is the video.
I just can't.
New at 6, one of the four Fort Lauderdale police officers fired in a racist text message scandal spent the day fighting to get his job back. He brought a witness to an arbitration hearing who he claims proves he's not a racist.
Lord.
CBS 4's Gary Nelson is live in Fort Lauderdale.
Is this news? This is news? They made this news?
This white police officer fired over alleged bigotry appealed that dismissal today. It might not have hurt that he had help from his black girlfriend.
Shut the fuck up.
A lot of emphasis on black.
Oh my God. This is the whitest dude ever saying that.
Cop Jason Holding trying to persuade an arbitrator to order him rehired. An uphill climb after these racist photos of the president of blacks being attacked by police dogs, even mock on-the-spot executions of minorities, showed up on the cell phones of Officer Holding and three other cops. Holding got help today from his African-American girlfriend. They became an item after the allegations against him surfaced.
There are people that say things that they don't mean, and he's a cop. He shouldn't have said the word. Correct.
Officer James Wells here. Officer Alex Alvarez. Officer Holding and a fourth Lauderdale cop all lost their jobs as a result of their racist communications.
Oh, girl.
The police chief today saying it doesn't matter if the cops exchanged bigoted texts on their private phones.
Off duty, on duty, whatever you do, once it comes to light, you're a police officer. Everyone is going to look at your actions.
As his parents cried,
that I'm not a racist. I never have been a racist. I never will be a racist.
Holding said his frequent use of the N-word may have been influenced by working a tough inner-city neighborhood. The chief and city leaders say the behavior of the four officers set community relations back decades.
This is pure hatred and racism. It is obviously morally repugnant, and we cannot have this in our community.
That's the way an arbitrator saw it with Officer James Wells in February, refusing his bid for reinstatement, saying hate speech is not free speech if you're a cop. Officer Alvarez resigned rather than be fired. A fourth officer chose not to appeal his dismissal.
Yeah, because he's smart.
Now, none of these cops has had their licenses to be cops revoked because at the time, under state rules,
nor will they.
Bigoted speech was not cause to have your certificate taken away from
Why
you.
Why would
so
it
these
be? They're
officers,
all fucking
regardless
racist.
Of how the appeals regarding the Fort Lauderdale jobs come out, are free to work at whatever agency will have them. We're live in Fort Lauderdale.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
White people, you cannot use the N-word. No N's in G-A, N's in E-R. Not one of my friends. And, oh, they can use it, but we can't. Stop. You're done. You can't use it. No.
And if you don't know, now you know.
We interrupt our...
Just no, just no, no. And, you know, N's in G-A, N's in E-R, whether a black woman touched your penis... After you said it or not.
After you just, said like, this or not.
Even the newscaster's like, the alleged romance began after the incident. Like,
I love how in the lead he goes, his black girlfriend.
Yeah, a lot of emphasis. African-American.
I noticed
that.
Voiceover.
Little subtle change.
All right, Jim, I got you. I see
his
you.
His black.
Black.
Like he was just waiting to put that on his
black.
Lips.
Black.
Wait till you hear the piece I got.
Black. Gave me,
I usually get the, like, dog lost on fucking.
Black off.
On this street or that street. This is a good story for me. This is too much.
Mm-hmm.
You brought her to court, though. I hope she... You know, I'll just say this. I don't talk about, you know, folks or anything. You can say what you want about her. I hope that there was some financial...
Exchange of funds.
Yeah, there was
yes,
some sort
I
of,
hope so.
I hope there
girl,
was some sort of benefit.
Girl, I hope you got
some
paid.
Some sort of
what,
benefit.
In whatever way you wanted to, I hope you got compensated. That's all I'll say about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it there. So Outlander this week, listen.
Can we spoiler alert? I know.
Okay, listen. If you don't, if you haven't watched Outlander yet this week, stop the show now, and we'll see you for our 100th show.
Yeah, don't come back.
Don't come back.
Quit this one and listen to it later.
Good listening to you.
Spoiler alert, Outlander. Spoiler alert, Outlander. Listen. Yo, Murtaugh, that fucking listen. Shit was amazing.
Listen.
And I knew we were watching it, and I kept saying, like, I forgot, like, when they were on Scotland versus France, like, which book was this? And then when
Sandringham popped back up, right?
No, it was when Claire, when they were
when
the Redcoats got right. him, and she's in the thing, and she's like, listen, take me. I was like, oh, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. And I was like, man, I can't believe this isn't going to be, like, the season finale. Like, I remember being kind of like a big-ass deal,
right.
like, you know. Right?
Right.
But even then, I kind of know what's going on. And the actor that plays Sandringham is so good. He played it so good. Like,
so good.
You didn't even, his switch when the Port Wayne Stein, the Port Wine Stained Hand dude gets seen.
Yes. And he's like, she recognizes
yeah,
his, you.
Yeah, Sandringham just turns.
Fucking
turns
that shit, yo.
And fucking like.
You idiot.
Oh, man. The whole thing, dude. The whole
the
fucking
whole
thing, dude.
Thing.
Is just. Oh, unbelievable, dude.
So good.
Unbelievable. And Murtaugh at the end, he fucking comes over and like, I don't want to like, I guess we've already spoiled it, but like fucking like they find out that this dude basically like didn't just have her rape, but like it was his idea. Like it was really bad. And the other girl kills the one guy, the rapist. And Sandringham's backing up, doing. He's like, I would never. And fucking
Claire's like, every time she kept he kept lying. She's like, nope, he's the one who's did it.
It was you.
First she said that's the man who attacked us. And Jamie goes after that dude,
right?
And then she's like, and the guy's like, no, he put me up to it. And he's like, no. And Claire goes, yep.
Yes, he did.
That's exactly right. He put him up to it for Saint-Germain. And then he's like, I would never do something like rape. That's a lie.
It was your idea.
It was his idea.
Yeah, she dropped fucking dime. And what was even better is when the younger girl is... Mary's walking with a knife, getting ready to stab the rapist.
Yep.
In the background, almost out of focus. You almost can't see it. We watched it the second time because this shit was so good. And you saw it the second time. There's Murtaugh getting the fucking axe, dude.
Getting the axe,
getting
dude.
Getting that fucking axe.
He's like,
back.
You the one? Got it,
and
bitch.
And then he's got this look on his face that's just fucking like,
listen. He wasn't even paying no attention to Mary. He like literally Mary kills the rapist. They fall to the floor.
Murtaugh
didn't move a fucking iota. He was standing there with that fucking axe. And when Jamie looks over him, he already has the axe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The first time I didn't even realize that shit. So when he looks over, he's like about to say some shit. He looks over, he's like, "Oh,
Murtaugh got that axe.
You got an axe? Oh, bitch. Listen, bye.
Everybody needs a Murtaugh.
Listen.
Honestly, I'm the goat.
Stop.
Yeah, Murtaugh's the shit. Murtaugh. So when Sandahan backs up and he fucking just basically fucking kills the shit out of him, chops his fucking head off, dude. That shit's sick as fuck. Takes the dude's head, walks over, speechless, hasn't said a word.
He's covered
in fucking blood, just badass as fuck. Picks dude's head up, walks over, kneels down, and says, "I kept my promise to you. I lay your vengeance at your feet. Lady Bracturok."
Listen.
For Murtaugh fucking chopping fucking heads off, dude. That shit was awesome.
Brock to rock.
Yeah, dude. That shit was sick. That was really good.
So good.
So we watched, we've been watching this week tonight. We actually were missing it. Our DVR like sucked for a bit or something. I don't know what the hell was going on with that. But last week they did that whole thing about debt, and then they bought the medical debt and they kind of like got rid of it. And I'm not going to like complain that it really wasn't kind of what they said it was, because the debt they bought was out of... statue.
Like nobody.
But people could still, you could still call those people and like harass them.
Yes,
and that's the real truth. Is that $15 million in debt in their mind was worth $20,000. Like you're going to get $20,000 off of a list
out of that.
Yeah, out of people just bugging the shit out of them. But so they talked about all these different things that like debt, this, that. And I don't know if we talked about it on our podcast or not. But and I'm not like embarrassed by it or nothing. But all the horse shit that he talked about, all of it happened to me. Every single fucking one. And it wasn't medical debt. It was just credit card debt. And it was so, I wouldn't say like disgusting, but you know, I'm from that era where they would throw credit cards at you when you walked onto college campus, like here's a AT&T credit card.
Yeah, for a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So I literally like, this isn't like, I wish I could be saying this is a joke and like I made this up. Like I bought a laser disc player. Like
everybody needs
that. I bought a laser disc player, right? So, I know the thing had a max balance of like $1,500, right? It just wasn't a lot. It was like, I'm a fucking kid. Like they didn't give me a lot of like, you know, room to fuck around. Right. It was a pretty short leash. But so the thing in 2000, I think it was like 9 or 10, they had the Card Act, which is a big thing that Congress passed, and it outlawed a whole dump load of practices, all of them, which they did to me here. So they would send you a bill that said your minimum payment is $29, but really your principal and interest are going to go up $39 every month if you do nothing. So they would make your minimum payment lower than your...
like your balance.
Your balance plus interest. Right. Like your interest is $32 a month and your minimum payment is $27.
Right.
So it's like, you know, unbeknownst to you, it's getting higher and higher. Like you're paying the minimum and your payoff date is never. And your payoff date is like, you're just never going to pay it off. Like that's why would you make that a minimum payment? That's absurd. So they did that. Then there was the, if you missed a payment, you skyrocket the APR. If you missed a payment, you get like late fees and all this other shit. And they did all these, again, just predatory stuff. And at some point, they lowered my limit.
So I'd be over the limit.
Correct.
Right.
They because I was late, I was, you know, like mad at it or something like that, they lowered my limit. And by lowering my limit, I'm now over the limit. I wasn't before, but now I am.
But now you are.
And so now they're sending me a bill with a $29 minimum payment, which is really like $35 plus. Unbeknownst to me, I'm not like really looking at the bill. There's a like $30-something a month over the limit fee. So now the principal, like quote unquote, this laser disc player that I've bought, like the legitimate $1,500 in debt that I put on this credit card, they've ballooned. They're up to like $4,000 or $5,000. It's literally outrageous. And I kind of got like mad, you know, so I was just like, fine, fuck you. Like I did like a pretty childish thing. I was like, I'm just not going to pay anymore. You know what? I'll deal with that another day. Like, see, like, never mind. Just like
whatever.
Whatever. And, you know, fast forward a bunch of years and caught up with me. They took me to court and I think it was Louisiana we're living in.
Yeah.
And so Louisiana is a state where they allow garnishment of wages for unsecured debt like a credit card. So the credit card company thought, aha, he's living in Louisiana. Let's sue him and we can get money out of his paycheck. So they did that and I did the same thing, like, fuck you, like, whatever. I'm just going to like everybody, when you get, not everybody, but 90 some odd percent of cases like this, and they talked about this on the John, on This Week Tonight with John Oliver, 90-some-odd% of these cases, it's just like a default because the person doesn't go to court.
Right.
It's like, what am I going to get a lawyer and fucking go to court and whatever?
If I had money for a lawyer, I'd have fucking paid my goddamn bill.
Exactly.
How about that?
And we even moved. I was like, I'm not even in Louisiana anymore. Now I'm in Pennsylvania. And that actually turned out to be kind of like, I'm going to say fortunate, but we moved to a state that no longer allows garnishment of wages for unsecured debt like a credit card. Pennsylvania has better consumer credit protection.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to pay it. I'm like, all right, fine, fuck you. And they got a lawsuit, so there's nothing else they can do. Like, my credit's like destroyed. Like, I couldn't get a bank account. I couldn't get a checking account. Like, everything was cash. I bought a car in cash. Like, it was pretty bad for 7 years, right? And then right at the end of the 7 years, like 6 years and like 11 months, I'm looking at the calendar. I know the date. Like, I know the exact date.
Right. Like you're counting down, dude.
Yeah. I want to get a bank account. I'd like to have, you know, like an actual credit, you know, at some point. So at some point, somebody got it now at the very end, and they're going to try to, like, I don't say berate me, but they kind of did. Like, they called multiple times. They called my mom. They got me at work. And they're like, you're not going to be a man. You're not going to pay your debts. You're not going to stand up and be a man. I'm like, no, not when you fucking fucked me royally. And I should even say, like, this, I should have led with this. At some juncture, I literally was like, listen, y'all, I know I owe you money, but it ain't $5,000 plus court costs and all this horse shit. I'll settle for, like, you know, some number on that. Like, I think, I don't know if it was half, but it was a lot. Like, I offered him like $3,000. I'm like, no, we don't want it. I'm like, I'm giving you double of what I could have absolutely got on principle. All the other bullshit was like kind of like fees and scams and like shit that's now illegal. Right. Literally, like, whatever you did to me, it's now illegal.
Right.
Like, I don't have to tell you something. Like, Congress made that illegal, and you wouldn't take 30 cents or 50 cents on the dollar. I was like, all right, fucker, whatever. Yeah, debt's a bitch. They don't even teach it like that. And maybe they do now, but I was like 20 something before I like understood simple interest in APR. No,
they definitely, like, it's definitely a hole on purpose, I would say. So
yeah, probably intentional.
Yeah,
definitely intentional.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got any podcast standing? I guess let's stand for the four people that came to our session.
Yeah.
Wanna say their names again?
Them.
We don't have to. We'll rewind it.
Have it up.
Come back and lose again. Sorry, folks. It's late. It's late.
And we're going to Columbus. And we're going away.
You should be lucky this one got in. Like, yeah, y'all don't, like, even
really
know.
It was a lot.
A little pulling teeth.
It was a lot.
A little bit. It's going to post it like 1
a.m. I'm glad we did because it was fun and all of that. It always is. And it was great. And I'm glad we got one in because we want to make sure we're delivering to our 14 fans.
Notice me, senpai. Notice me.
Anyways, but yeah, I can say this. I really don't know when we're going to be able to do the 100th episode. Legit. I don't know how this timing worked out that it falls right at the, like, probably worst 3-week period in an entire year for it to fall in. So
it's not good. Maybe what we need is a
Pull it. Time out. I got something in my eye, Jagoff.
Time out. We use a timeout.
Yeah.
It might be. Brace yourself.
No.
Johnners. Might be a little while.
No. Definitely not. We're going to have to.
Are we going to bring the rig with us? What the hell are you going to do?
No, we're going to just
do it from the road? No. You're going to do 100 from the road?
No, we're not going to do 100 from the road. We'll figure it out. We'll get it done.
Yes.
It's
not going to have old Johnner. I don't think Carl's going to make the 100th episode.
Well, if that's the case, we may have to postpone for a long time,
which
I really don't want to do.
We'll have to see what happens.
All right. We'll see.
We'll see what we can do. Well, tell me where you're going. We're on Mashable.
Anyways, yeah. So I will be speaking at Mashable's Social Media Day in Philadelphia on June 30th. If you don't have a ticket already, you're shit out of luck because it's sold out, apparently. I have been told. But if you already signed up, make sure you come to the social activism panel discussion, which I will be on. And later that evening at 7 p.m., you can come and check us out at the Schuylkill Banks park. They have a little park there right by the Walnut Street Bridge, and we'll be there chilling. And then after the sun goes down, watching Dirty Dancing.
Nice.
Yeah. And celebrating my birthday. Hashtag Leslie Mac 40.
Yeah. I feel like this was a good episode. But maybe a little bit too entertaining on your part. Did you
I was entertained.
Did you pregame too much?
I didn't pregame. Too much. Anyways.
I don't have my, I forgot where my 5x5, we're in the pipe. 5x5. But anyway, where's my shit? Where is my shit? I gotta get my jingle palette set back up.
You gotta get your jingle palette together.
Good night, everybody.
High five.